Begin the current daf himself. This Yuma daf Ayin Hey. We begin on the bottom line of Ayin Dalam Beis, where the Gemara continues bringing psukim and the agadic homiletic teachings related to that. But most specifically is that there are two Amiram, Reb Ami, Reb Asi, that argue and regarding says one says like this and one says like that, and in the agadic interpretation of the pasuk. So the Gemara begins by quoting a pasuk in Mishlei that says Ki yitin b'kois einoy, because if he's going to put his eyes on his cup, he will go in the upright way. Now, that Reb Ami and Reb Asi, they both have interpretations of what the pasuk is coming to teach us. Chadama once says, Kol ha-noisin, and we continue on top of Ayin Heim and Aleph, Einoi b'kaisai, whoever puts his eyes in his cup, which means to say he loves getting drunk, then arayas kulon doimus alav kemishar. That then all immoral and forbidden relationships will appear to him like a plane, which means to say that he's going to go b'meisharm, because it's going to seem like a plane. Nothing's going to be stopping him. It's all going to seem like it's permitted for him, any type of woman. B'chadam, another one says, kol ha'noisin eino b'kais, whoever puts his eyes in his cup, again, who loves getting drunk, kol ha'olam kuloi d'imolav k'mishar, the entire world will appear to him like a plane. That means he's going to, everyone else's money will seem to him like it's permitted, again, because he will not be held back. He will not have any gumption about taking other people's money. Now the Gemara continues with another pasuk in Mishlei. Again, Reb Ami and Reb Asi arguing regarding the deeper homiletic interpretation. So the pasuk says in Mishlei, "Da'go b'lev ish," when there's worry, when there's anxiety in a man's heart, that's when a person has a fear about some type of a loss, about something that maybe that's going to come. So yashchena, he should push it down, he should squash it. Now that Reb Ami and Reb Asi, they argue regarding the deeper agadic interpretation. Chadama once says, "Yaschena midaitoi." It's with a sin that he should remove it from his das. He should distract himself. The other one reads it as that he should talk it over and tell it over to somebody else. As Rashi says, actually that person might even give him a good idea about what to do. So it's not just to push it down and try to stop thinking about it. Distract by thinking about something else or by talking it over with someone else. And that will help a person overcome his anxiety. Now, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, V'nachash ofer lachme, and the snake, the earth is his bread. So again, Reb Ami Reb Asi. Chadam once says, Afilo oichel kol madanei oilam, even if the snake eats all the delicacies of the world, Toyim behem tam ofer, he always tastes a taste of dirt, of earth. Chadam, and the other one says, Afilo oichel kol madanei oilam, even if the snake eats all the delicacies of the world, Ein daitem yusheves alav, he's not calm down. He's not satiated. Asher yechel ofer, until he eats earth. Now, related to this, the Gemara brings time. We learn the Braisa. Related to this curse that the snake has, which was the primordial, which was by the chet of the Eitz Hadas, where the snake had incited Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So he got the curse where he's going to be eating earth, which we just had a machlokes regarding what's the deeper understanding of that curse. So Amar Beis Yosi said, "Boyre, come and see." HaKadosh Baruch's nature, so to speak, is different than the nature of mankind. Because Midas Basav Adam, the nature of a flesh and blood individual, Maknidas Chaveroi, if he's bothering his friend, Yerdimoy Lechayiv, he's going to go down to the person's life. And that is, he's going to do whatever he can to get to the other person, to create him a loss, to do what it is to destroy that person. HaKadosh Baruch is not like that. As we find, Kiles Anochesh, he cursed the snake. And Oy Lagag, the snake goes up to the roof, Mizay Noisav Imoy, he has his food with him. Yerid Lamata, the snake goes down, Mizay Noisav Imoy, it has its food with him. There's earth everywhere. And now that curse was not like where a regular person says, I'm going to get you, I'm going to curse, and he takes away everything that the person could have, his livelihood. Hashem gives him, no matter where he goes, he gets earth. So he actually has food now everywhere. And the deeper understanding of the curse, that he has no more relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not so much as his food. Hashem doesn't have to be Yerid Lechayiv. Similarly, we find Kiles Kanan. Kadosh Baruch Hu cursed Kanan. This was by the incident of Cham, when he castrated his father, and then Noach had cursed, and this was under the auspices, so to speak, of the brachas and the klalos that are given down, Kadosh Baruch Hu had given to mankind. So Noach had cursed Kanan. Oichel, Masher Rabbi Oichel. So the curse that was Kadosh Baruch Hu implemented into that the fourth son of that Kanan was cursed, but although he's an eved, Kanan is a slave, but Oichel Masher Rabbi Oichel, he eats what his master eats. V'sheisa Masher Rabbi Sheisa, he drinks what his master drinks. So although he was cursed, that he's a slave, but again, he has whatever he needs, just like the snake. Kilesa Isha, Sotar Kadosh Baruch Hu cursed the woman by the chet of the Eitz Hadas. And yet Hakol Ratzon Acharei, everybody runs after her. So although there was the curse of the Dam Nida and other types of Damim, which would make someone separate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that, and still in spite of that, the entire world is chasing after the woman. And so too, Kiles Adama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed the earth, also by the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, when the earth stopped bringing forth the trees that had the taste of the fruit. And HaKol Nezayin Hem, and yet still everyone feeds themselves from the earth. Again, that we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different than mankind. Although mankind curses the person and chases and tries to do everything to destroy them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do like that. Although there's a curse, but deeper, there's blessings that come with that too. And although there's curses, He gives them everything that they need. Now the Gemara continues with what we were speaking about in the previous staff, which what introduced this idea of the different Agadic interpretations was regarding the Inui, the affliction of the man. And that's where we knew the source of that. The Inui of Yom Kippurim is hunger, over there it says, V'yanch v'yarivecho, which the affliction is hunger by the man. So too, the affliction of Yom Kippurim is hunger. And that's how we know it doesn't mean just sitting in the sun and getting hot. It means not eating. So now, related to that, when they were complaining about all the foods regarding the man, so they said, Zecharnu es hadoga asher noichel b'mitzrayim chinam. They were complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, oh, we remember the fish that we ate in Egypt for free. It's not Rav Shmuel, it's a machlokes Rav Shmuel. Chadam or dog, and one says, like the literal translation sounds like, that they were complaining actually about the fish that they used to have, and now they're stuck with the man. But chadam arayis. The other interpretation says that it was actually illicit relationships that they had in Egypt, which then became forbidden for them when they got into the Midbar, into the desert. As Rashi says, because that daga can mean marital relations, as the pasuk says v'yidgu l'roiv, which is an interpretation regarding being populating the world, which means by having children. So therefore, that they were complaining about the dagim is a reference to arayis. So the Gemara explains that man da'amar dagim, the opinion that says it was fish, tachsev noichal, as it says in the pasuk, what we ate. So that obviously it's not regarding illicit relationships, arayis. It was talking about actual fish. The other interpretation that says that it was arayis, because it says for free. Now, fish are not for free, so if they were remembering the fish, it wouldn't have said chinam. What's something that comes free that you don't have to pay anything for that? That was arayis. Now, the Gemara asks on both interpretations. Well, the mandam arayis, according to the one that says that it was illicit relationships, haksev neichel, but says that we ate. Where does eating come into cohabitation? So that the Gemara answers that lishnam al yinokat, that they were using a more elevated type of language. Like it says a pasuk in Mishle, that the pasuk starts off, it's a Mishle perek lamed pasuk chaf that says, "Kein derech isha mino efes." That's the way of the adulterous woman. That what? Achla, she eats. Umachsa pia, and she wipes her mouth, which is really a reference, a euphemism for wiping her genital area. Varma, and she says, "Loi palti oven." I didn't do anything wrong. What did I do? I was just where I was, and I stayed where I was. And so we see that there is a term of eating in relation to cohabitation. Now, the mandam adagam, according to the one that says that it was fish, maichinam, what does it mean that it was free? Fish you generally have to pay for, even if that's what they're remembering that they enjoyed in Egypt. So the Gemara answers, "Dava maisin lahu mefker." Actually, the fish was brought to them from hefker, from onulus. The Amar Mar, as it was stated, that Kishah Yisrael Shoyev in Mayim, when the Jewish people used to draw water in Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mazmul Hem Etoich HaMayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would prepare for them that it would come inside the water, Dagim Ketan B'Kadein, that in their jugs of water would come in small little fish, and therefore they were remembering, oh, Maisha, look what you did to us, you brought us out to the desert, and here we are stuck with the man, and we used to have free fish back in Egypt. So now the Gemara explains that Bishlam Elaman Dama Dagim, according to the pin that says they were complaining about the fish they used to have, Aval Arayis Loi Pritzi Buhu, but they didn't do a lot of arayis in Mitzrayim. That wasn't something that they were remembering and saying, oh, we used to have these illicit relationships. They didn't breach those gedarim. So hain dechsev, that's what it would make sense, the pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says a reference to the Jewish people when they were in Egypt, ganol, a closed garden, achaisichala, is my sister, the bride, v'goyme, etc., which the etc. is the pasuk concludes, mayin chasim, a closed fountain. That's a reference to the place of Tznius, which was closed over there. Elamand Amma Arayis, but according to the pin that says they were complaining, oh, we used to have all these great illicit relationships in Egypt. So my mind chasim. What is Hashem saying how great the Jewish people were that they had a closed fountain in Egypt? My mind chasim, what is that if they were complaining that they used to have illicit relationships? So that the Gemara answers, Mahanach de Asiran. Regarding this, that we said that the pasuk says that they had a closed fountain, that they were tsunua, was regarding things that are forbidden for the Bnei Noach, which is what the Jewish people had that status before they were mekabel the Torah b'Har Sinai. They had the Noahide laws, which, as the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, that any erva, any type of forbidden relationship that the Jewish Bezdin will kill someone for, that's something that a Noahide, a non-Jewish person, is forbidden to. On that, loy pitzibhu, that they weren't paritzin, that they weren't, they didn't do those types of activities. However, that's what they were crying about now, was regarding the added things that now they became forbidden. Jewish people are forbidden on much a higher level regarding arayis. And therefore, yes, they were a ganol, they were a mayan chasim in Egypt. Now there were added things, that's what they're complaining about. Those which were permitted in Egypt are forbidden now, and that's what they're complaining about, that's what we're missing. Now the Gemara asks the other way. Bishlam imandama arayis, according to the one that says that they were complaining about the forbidden relationships that they were permitted to have in Egypt. Sahayin dechsev, that's what says in Pasuk B'midbar, that Vayishma Moshe sa'am b'ichel mishpachesev, that Moshe Rabbeinu heard the people crying to their families. Now, what does it mean they were crying to their families? That the interpretation is al iske mishpachesev, regarding the topic of their families, which was shenestru lehem lishkav etzlam, that is forbidden for them to have relations with their family members. And that was what they were crying about, because they used to be able to be permitted in different types of forbidden relationships, which was what they had that they engaged in Mitzrayim. Elman d'Amar dogim, but according to the one that says they were just complaining about the fish, my b'chel mishpachesu. So what are they crying about? Their family members, they didn't engage in this immorality in Egypt anyway. But the Gemara answers hava ha'habir. The one who holds they were complaining about fish holds that they also engaged in these type of relationships in Egypt, and they were crying about that too. So there was two things they were crying about: the fish, and they were crying about that now their family members were forbidden in them based on the laws of arayis that were makabel now in the midbar. Now the Gemara continues quoting a pasuk in Bamidbar Perikut Aleph Pasuk Hey, which talks about this pasuk that the Gemara had just started talking about before. That was Zacharnu es Hadaga. We remember the fish Asher Noichel b'Mitzrayim Chinam that we ate in Egypt for free. Now the pasuk there continues es Hakeshuim, the cucumbers, the Esav Avatichim, and the melons. And as the pasuk continues, Vesa Chatzir and the leek, Vesa Btzolim and the onions, Vesa Beshumim and the garlic. So Rebam and Rebasi again, they argue regarding these items that they were complaining about. Chadama once says that Tam Kol Aminim Tama B'Man. Truthfully, as we know, that any taste a person wanted to taste in the mon, they were able to taste. However, Tam Chameshes Hamin Halololoi Tama B'Man. But the taste of these five items of melons, cucumbers, leek, onion, and garlic, they weren't able to taste it, and that's why they were complaining about. Oh, we remember we used to have these five things, and the reason is because these five items are harmful for pregnant and nursing women, and that's why there wasn't this taste in the mon, but that's what they found something to complain about, that although they were able to taste everything else in the world possible, these five things they weren't able to taste. Chatam, the other one, says that tam kol haminim, that when they would taste anything that they wanted to taste, tamoy tamon umamashon, they were able to taste its taste and get even its substance. They felt that texture. Mahalalu, time in the Vilema Mushroom. But these five things, even these things, they were able to have the taste, but not the substance, not the feeling, and that's what they were complaining about, of those five things. Now, more on the mun, the Gemara brings the pasuk in Shemais that says, Vuhu kizera gad lovin. The mun was white like the coriander seed. Now, Rabasi says that, truthfully, the coriander seed is not white, but it's round. And therefore, he interprets the pasuk as follows. He says, Ogul kagida. It was round like the coriander. However, loved kamargolis, it was white like pearls. And not like the little translation that sounds like it's white like coriander, because that's not white. Gemara continues, Tarabanu lenda braisa. Many interpretations the Gemara is going to bring. What is this term that the pasuk calls the mon, that it was like a zera, like a seed of God loving, like white God? So on that, the braisa says, God, shedayim lezera pishtan begivayon. It was similar to the seeds of flax when it's in its capsules, which is, that's when it's round. Similarly, like we said, it was round like the coriander seed. Achayimim, others say that God, the reason why it's called God, is shedoyim lahagoda. That's similar to homiletic interpretations, shemeshaches libo shel adam kemaim, that it draws a person's heart like water. that people are very, they have rapt attention when they hear agadic teachings. So that's the idea that was God lovan, like a gada that draws love and the heart of a person. That's how the man was like, that it drew a person of the to go ahead to the man. Tanidach, we learn in another brisa that God, shemagid lehem liyisrael, that it would tell the Jewish people, what would it tell them? Iben tisha l'rishon, if the child was born to a 9-month pregnancy from the first husband, v'iben shiva l'achron, or it was a 7-month pregnancy for the second husband. And that is, if let's say a woman was married to one husband and then married someone else, now the child was born, we don't know if it was from a 7th month from the second husband or 9 months from the first husband. Now, but since it says in the Pasuk, Vayumoydu bo'imer, which the Gemara also tells us that whether they would gather a lot or gather a little bit, they would always find an Oymer Lagagoyles. Every single person would have an Oymer. Now, therefore, if it was found more in the house of the first husband, so then you know that if he's really the child of the first husband and was born to a 9-month pregnancy. If it was found an extra Oymer in the second house, then you know that he's really a child of the second husband. And that's why it was later instituted to have a 3-month wait, that they won't have this doubt. But in the times of the midbar, they didn't need that because the man itself would tell us from which husband the child was born. Lavan, when it says that it was white, Shemal ben Avonisein shel Yisrael, because the man made the sins of the Jewish people white, it would take away their sins, because since they would always be afraid, maybe the man's not going to come down tomorrow, and they would always have to daven to Hashem, and that's why many people say the Parshas Haman every single day, because that's the concept of we have to rely on Hashem. Even what we have today is today, then tomorrow we don't know, so therefore that was malbin, it whitened their sins, because they always had to daven to Hashem and say, Hashem, please give me food the next day. Tanya, we learned the Braisa similar to this, that Rabbi Yossi Omer, like we said, why it was called God, because it was be magid lehem, to tell them which child it's from. K'shem sha'anavi ho'yi magid lehem liyisrael. Just like the prophets among the Jewish people would tell the Jewish people, masha b'chayin and masha b'stokin, what's in all the nooks and crannies, they would tell them what's going on really. Kach haman magid lehem liyisrael, masha b'chayin and masha b'stokin. So too the man would do the same thing. How so? Ketzad. Shnaim shebo lefnei Moshe l'din. When there were two people that come in front of Moshe Rabbeinu to educate a case, this one says, you stole my slave. And he said, no, you sold him to me. So the Moshe would tell them, but the following morning will be the judgment. Now, the following morning, if the following day, the bundle, the Omer, which was the amount of the man, which the extra Omer for that slave was found in the place of the first master, so then it was known that the second one had stolen him. And if the Omer for that slave, because every single person had a certain amount, then no matter how much they gathered, that's how much they ended up with, it was in the house of the second master, then for sure you know that he sold it to him, and that's why it's by him, because it's really his. So too, a man and a woman, husband and wife, they would come in front of Moshe Rabbeinu for judgment. He's saying that she's acting inappropriate for me. And she says, no, he's acting inappropriate to me, and therefore she wants to have a ksuba, she wants to be paid for what she's owed for, because he's acting unfaithful. So Amle Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu said, but the following morning will be the justice. Lamacha, the following day, im nimtza oimer bebeis bala, if her oimer for her man that she's supposed to get every single day is found in her husband's house, then you can know that she's the one that's acting unfaithful to her husband, because obviously he wants her in his house. That's why the Omer is there. Nimtza Omer bebeis aviyah, if her Omer is found in her father's house, then you can know that he was not faithful to her, and that's why it means obviously he doesn't want her, and that's why it's found in her father's house. Now the Gemara continues more on the man. Like Sivit says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, it says, Uviredes hatal al hamachna lailo. And the Gemara will illustrate many different cases of discrepancies that it seems like regarding the man, and then it illustrates that depends on what type of person. So it says that when the dew would come down, al hamachna laila, on the camp by nighttime, then yerid haman olav, then the man would fall on the blanket of dew that was there on the ground. Now, that sounds like that the man was inside the camp of where the people were. Uchsev, however, says the passing in Shemais, the Yotzaha Ambalakta, that the people had to go out and gather, that sounds like that it was out of the camp. Yet then there's another pasuk about Midbar that says Shatu ha'amblaktu, that the people went far out scavenging together. That sounds like it was a very far area. So how we resolve all the three pasukim? So that the Gemara said Sadikim yared al pasach b'tehem. The righteous, the man would land right by the entryway of their house. That was in the Machna. Beninim, the middle type of people, Yatsu b'laktu, it wasn't in the camp. They had to go out and gather it. Rishaim, the wicked ones, Shatu b'laktu, they had to go out, scavenge, go very far, and gather. Similarly, there's another discrepancy. Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk Lechem, it calls the man bread, which sounds like it's already baked. Ksiv Ugoist, yet there's another Pasuk that says that they were round cakes. Sounds like that before it was baked. There's another pasuk that says they would grind it. That sounds like that it was in kernels. So how we resolve that? So tzaddikim lechem, the righteous got it in the form of bread. Beninim ugois, the middle type of people got it in the round cake. And rishom tachnu berichayim, however, the wicked ones got it like in the form of a kernel, and they had to go out and grind it and go through the processes of making all the way into bread. Now the pasuk in Midbar says oidachu b'madeicha, or they would grind it in a mortar. Now Amr Yehuda Merav. That man, you could just put in your mouth and taste it. What is this that they're grinding it in a mortar? So it says, Malamadish teaches you, Sheyered lehem liyisrael imaman, that it would come down to the Jewish people with the man, tachshitei nashim, would be the different perfumes for the women, because that's davar shenidach b'maducha, that's something that is grinded in a mortar, which was the spices that they would grind, and then they would decorate, they would put this on so that they could smell goods for their husbands. So although the Gemara brought down previously that was the wicked ones, this interpretation is saying that because that there were actually other things besides the man that would come down with the man, which were different spices that the women would grind down and then use it as perfume for themselves and for their husbands. Similarly, the Gemara brings over there in the pasuk, it says uvishlu bapar, they would cook it in the pot. So again, the question is, so we said, why are you grinding? Because that's going on something else that would come down. What's this cooking? You could just put it in your mouth. So again, Amr Reb Chama says, Malam, this teaches, sheyarad lehem liyisrael im haman, that also additionally that would come down with the man, was tziki kedera, were the spices to make cooked dishes, sweet and aromatic, that would also come down together, and that was the things that they would cook in the pot. Now, it says the pasuk in Shemais, moreover, other things that would come down, that we would learn up from the pasuk, would come down with the man. It says, V'heim heviwe lov oid nedava, that they continued bringing to Moshe Rabbeinu more donations to the Mishkan, babayker, babayker, every single morning. Now, my babayker, babayker, what does it mean every single morning? They only came in the morning, and every single morning they came to bring donations? So Amr Shmuel ben Nachmeinu, Amr Yonis, and he says, Midavar sheyarad lehem babayker, babayker. They brought donations to the Mishkan, things that came down that came down every single morning, malamed, that teaches you sheyardu lahem liyisrael avanim tayvis amagolis imaman, that teaches that it came down for the Jewish people, precious stones and pearls together with the man, and that's because regarding the man it says of a yilkatu oisa babayka babayka, they would gather it every single morning. So that's what they brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, babayka babayka, the things that they gathered every single morning together with the man. So besides the spices and besides these, which was for the women's perfume, and besides the spices for the dishes, additionally came down precious stones, that's what they continued to bring donations to the Mishkan, because that's something that they would get every single morning with the man. As the Gemara illustrates, as it says in the pasuk in Shemais, v'anasiim heviu esavni hashoyim, that the nasiim, which generally is translated as the princes, which every shevet had a nasi, they brought the Avnei Shoyim, the precious stones, for the Chayshin. On that tana, we learn the Braisa, actually Nesiim Mamish, which means literally the clouds brought it. As we said, because the clouds brought it every single morning with the man. V'chein Oyma, as it says in Pasuk Mishli, that we see that the word Nesiim means clouds. It says Nesiim Beruach, clouds and wind, v'keshem Oyim, but yet there's no rain. So you see that Nesiim means clouds. It was actually the clouds that brought the Avnei Shoyim, because the clouds would come and it would bring down, together raining down the man, would come these precious stones. That's who brought the Avnei Shoyim as it came every single morning. Now the pasuk about Midbar says regarding the man, v'hoya tamay, that the taste of the man was ketam l'shat hashaman, was like the taste of dough that was kneaded with oil. So, however, the question is obviously, first of all, what's this term l'shat? And also, that we know it tasted whatever the person wanted it to taste like. So Amr Bavo says, Mashadzeh, just like this breast, which is the term Lashad, is the term of a breast, that Tinik Toyimba Kamataimim, the child tastes the infant tastes all different types of taste that he wants to taste. In other words, whatever the mother ate, the child, the baby tastes. Af haman, so too the man, calls manchi. So as long as the Jewish people ate it, maitzen by common time, they found all different types of flavors, whatever it is, although it was the same thing, like the infant is suckling from the same place, the Jewish people were eating the same man, but it had all these different types of flavors and tastes. Ikadami, there are those that say, now what does this term leshad mean? Leshad mamish, it means literally a demon, that mashed ze mesapech lekamagvana, just like the demons. They change into many different colors and forms. Af haman mesapech lekamatayim, so too the man, again, changed into all these different flavors that they were. Now the pasuk in Shemais tells us that v'yem Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jewish people, b'seis Hashem lochem be'erev basal lachal, that Hashem gives you meat to eat in the evening, and bread in the morning to be satiated. So, and again, this goes together with the whole parasha that they were complaining with the man, and they wanted other items, they wanted slav, they wanted... So, Tan Vashmid Yerushu Ben Karcha, so it was taught in the name of Yerushu Ben Karcha, that Basr Shashalu Shalaika Hagen, regarding meat, which they asked inappropriate for, and that's because they had full stomachs, and that's because they had much flocks, they had enough animals, they didn't need more meat. So since they asked inappropriately, so nitlam shleikahagen, so it was given to them inappropriately, and that's because the meat would come down in the evening time, which is not appropriate time, because there's not going to be enough time to prepare the meat for the meal, which is eaten in the evening, and you're only getting it in the evening. So therefore, since they asked inappropriately, they got it at an inappropriate time. Lechem shashol kahagen, however, for bread that they asked appropriately, because a person cannot live without bread, and that's something that's necessary. So nitlam kahagen, so that was given to them appropriately. It was given to them in the morning, which they have enough time to prepare for the main meal, which is eaten in the evening. So that the Gemara says, mikan lim the Torah derechetz. This is where the Torah teaches you proper conduct. Shlo yechel adam baser ela b'layla. That person should only eat meat at nighttime, and that's what we're saying, that really they appropriately should have it came in the morning, and they would have time to prepare it for the evening. However, they got in the evening because they asked inappropriately, and therefore they didn't get it at an appropriate time. Now, the Gemara asks on that, is it really true that a person should eat his meat meal only at night? But Va'am Abaya said, Haimanda isle sedusa, if someone has a meal to eat, loy le'achle el b'yamam, you should only eat it during the daytime, as we said, because blind people are not satiated. You only have the real pleasure of the meal, and that become full if you could see it. Now, why would we eat a meat meal in the evening? That the Gemara answers, "Kein yamama kamrinan." Abai didn't mean to say, the Gemara didn't mean to say that we should eat it just by daytime. It means to eat it like it's daytime, which means to say by the light of a torch. So you eat it by the evening, but it should be like day, which means that you should be able to see it. Now, Amar of Acha by Yaakov, he says, "Betchila hayisol daimin ketanagam." Originally, the Jewish people were like hens. What does that mean? Shemenakrin ba'ashpa, that they used to like a hen pecks at the garbage. At the garbage dump, just eats a little bit at a time. That's how the Jewish people were also. Eat here, eat snack here. Until Moshe Rabbeinu came and set for them times of meals, as the Pasuk said, that babayku be'erev, that this they got this in the morning, this in the evening, saying that there should be appropriate meal times and not just pecking away at the food all day. Now, continuing with this idea that they requested meat inappropriately, so the Gemara brings the Pasuk in Bamidbar, that says, Habasar idena bein shenehem. So Hashem gave them what they asked for. He gave them the meat, gave them the slav. Now it says that the meat was still between their teeth, as the pasuk there concludes, Terem yikaris, before they were cut off. Va'af Hashem charav ha'am, and the anger of Hashem flared up against the nation. Va'yach Hashem ba'am, makarab moed, and Hashem hit and destroyed many of the Jewish people. Now, so it sounds like that they were just started eating the meat, and they already killed. Yet Uchsev, it says in another pasuk, Ad Chodesh Yam, that they ate the meat for a month's time. So how do we understand that? Were they killed right away once they started consuming the meat, or was it after a month? So that the Gemara answers, Beinanim li'altamesu. The intermediate people, they were killed right away. Risham, Mitzdarin, Maholchen, Ad Chodesh Yam. The wicked ones, they went through the pain of a slow and torturous death that lasted for a month. Again, that was for punishment for the inappropriateness that the Jewish people had complained against Hashem. Now, it says over there in the pasuk, it says vayishtachu. There's a pasuk in Bamidbar Yud Aleph Lamed Beis that says that vayakum ha'am kol hayom ha'hu, that the Jewish people, they got up that entire day v'chol laila, and the entire night v'chol yom ha'marches, the entire following day v'yasav es haslav, and they gathered this slav, this quail, because they had complained, we don't have food, we don't have meat, and Hashem gave them Hamamed asav asar chamarim, the least amount that people gathered were 10 bundles. And then it says vayishtachu, that they spread out. Lahem for them shetoyach, a spreading out, tzvivis amachna, around the camp. Now, Amr Shlakar, Shlakar says that al tikr vayishtachu, don't read it that they spread out the quail that they had caught, they spread it out amongst the camp, el vayishchatu, rather that they slaughtered, which means to say, melamed sheneschaibu seinein shel Yisrael shchita. This teaches that the enemy, which really is a euphemism for the Jewish people themselves, were responsible to be slaughtered, again, and that's because of the inappropriateness that they had asked for. Now it says over there in that pasuk that we just read, that they spread out for themselves, shetoyach, spreading out, sevivas hamachna, around the camp. So similarly, tanav shmei debeshu ben karcha, don't read it that they spread it out, ela shachit, which again, switching around the order of the test and the ches, that rather have ches first and then test, that they slaughtered. Which means say, melamed sheyard lem liyisrael imamon, that it came down with them, with the man, dava shetoyach shchita, something that required to be slaughtered. And that teaches you that the slav, that quail, was something that required slaughtering. Now, Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said regarding that interpretation of shetoyach, to read it shachit, that it had to be slaughtered, says v'chimekana talamed, from this pasuk of shetoyach, which you're reading shachet, you learn that the quail has to be slaughtered. Malik vanem already says a pasuk in Tehillim regarding this, that Hakadosh Baruch had given the Jewish people vayamter aleim ka'ofer she'er, that Hakadosh Baruch rained upon them meat like the earth, v'kachel yamim oiv kanef, and like the sand by the seas were winged birds. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. Now, B'tanya Lo'in Abrais, Rebbe says, it says in the Pasuk, V'zavachta kasher tzivisicha, you should slaughter like Hashem has commanded you. Now, we don't find anywhere in the Torah the mitzvah and how Hashem says to slaughter meat. Now, so Malamit, Shinitztava Moshe, that comes to teach that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, in other words, this was given to him, the halachas of Shechita were given to him, bal peh, by oral law, that what was he commanded? Al haveshet valakana, regarding the esophagus and the trachea, which is the windpipe and the food pipe, that al roiv echad bi'if, regarding you need the majority of one of them to be cut for birds, val roiv shnayim b'behema, and the majority of both of them have to be cut for animals. So therefore we know already regarding slaughtering, which applies to both birds and to behemoths, and that we know from the oral law how far it has to go, so we know already that you need shechita on the quail. So what does Shetoyach come to teach you if it's not teaching you Shachit? This comes to teach you that there was so much quail that came down that they were like layers and layers of them upon each other. That's how much quail HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people. Now, also a similar discrepancy as we mentioned before, there were different ways that the mun was, how it came down and how it's defined. So the Gemara says, like Siv, on the one hand, it's called lechem. The Torah calls the man bread. Uchsiv shemen, and it also calls it oil. Uchsiv dvash, and it also calls it honey. So Amr B'Yisrael B'Chanin, he says, let lena'arim lechem. To the youth, it was like bread. Liskenim shemen. For the elderly, it was like oil. And the tenekis dvash, and for children, it was like honey. Each one age appropriate. That's how the man came through for them. Now, ksiv shlav, the Gemara says that regarding the shlav that we were just talking about, it's written in the term of that it can be read with as a shin, that's written shlav, ukrinan shlav, yet we read it as a sin, which is shlav. So why is that? So Amar Chanina says, tzadikim oichlin oisei b'shalva, the righteous eat the quail with tranquility, that's shlav. Rishom oichlin oisei, however the wicked eat it, v'doim lehen kisilvan. And for them, it's like slav, whereas the samach, to them, it appears like thorns, which is in Aramaic, silvim is thorns. So that depends who they are, how they experience the slav. Now, Amram Chanan Barav, he says, Dalid mini slavim. There are four types of quail. Ve'elahin, and these are them. Sichli, v'kivli, ufasyuni, v'slav. Now, mala de kuli sichli, the best amongst them is sichli. Gri de kuli slav, the worst among them is the slav. Now, v'havikit tzipurte, it was as small as a tzipur bird. U'mesvin la'batanura, and as Rashi says, that their custom was to roast their spits of whatever type of meat they were roasting in the oven. So they would put the slav in the oven, v'tafach, and then it would blow up because of the high fat content that the slav had. So it blew up and became very fat. V'hava moli tanura, and it filled up the entire oven. And then they put it onto 13 breads, one on top of the other. And the lowest one, the bottom one, because of the high fat content that was absorbed in that bread, And for sure, the top ones were saying that even the lowest one down couldn't be eaten, Eilat Tarub, is only by mixing it with something else because it was such high fat content in this lav. Now, Mar tells us further about this lav that Rabbi Yehuda, Mishtakech Le Beidani, where he would find the lav amongst his barrels that from Shemayim, from heaven, they would put it there so that he could be supplied with his food. Rav Chisda, who later on will become important, that he's the father-in-law of Rav, and he was also his Rebbe, his teacher, he's Mishtakech Le Beit Tziva, he would find it among his wood, in the woodshed. Rava, the Gemara tells us, Ma'isi La'arisa Kol Yem, his sharecropper would bring him every day this lav. Yemechad Lo Ya'isi, one day he didn't bring it. So I'm a Mai Hai, so Rava was wondering, what's this? Why today was there no lav found that his sharecropper should bring for him? So Solikli Igra, so he went up to the roof. Shamali Nuka Dekama, he heard a child saying the following pasuk, a pasuk in Chavakuk. Shemati, I have heard something. Vatirgas bitni, and my heart, so to speak, is like in my stomach, which means say that I'm quivering in my stomach. So Amar, he said, Shmami no, from this we could infer that Nach Nafshid Rav Chisda, that must be that Rav Chisda has passed away, Ubedil Rabba, and that in the merit of the teacher, Achal Tamida, it was only that merit that the student, me Rava, had been eating all this time. It was really in the merit of my father-in-law, my teacher Rav Chisda, that I was eating, and now that he passed away, I'm not going to have any more of this love. Now continuing on the Mun, the Gemara asks another contradiction. Ksiv, there's a pasuk in Shemayis that says, Vatal Shekhvas Atal, that the dew that was laying on the ground went up. And then the pasuk continues and says, and then Behine, and suddenly Al Pani HaMidbar was Dak Mechuspas. In other words, once the layer of dew went up in the morning, then suddenly they saw there on the surface was the Mun that was laying over there, because the sun dissolved and had the dew go up, and then suddenly there was Dak Mechuspas, there was the Tal. So we infer from there that the Mun was underneath the level of the layer of the dew. However, except there's another pasuk that says, Uveredes HaTal, that when the dew would come down, and the pasuk there continues, Alamachna Laila, on the camp at nighttime, Yerid Haman Olav, then the dew would go on that. So it sounds like that the dew is on the bottom. So was the dew on the bottom, and on top of that was the Mun? Or was the Mun on the bottom, and on top of that was the dew? So Rabbi Rechanini says they're both true. Tal Malal of a Tal Mamata, the dew was on the top, and it was on the bottom. V'doyim Mekamei Shemunach Bekufse, and it was almost appeared as if it was inside a box. It was under and on top, the level, the layer of the dew. Now the pasuk says, regarding the Mun, the Dak Mechuspas, it was thin Mechuspas. So what does mechuspas mean? So Amar Shlakish says, Davar shenimuach al pisas hayad. It was something, the Mun was something that dissolved on the palm of a person's hand. And that's the contraction of the word mechuspas, is much, moyach, it dissolves, pas, on the palm of a person's hand. Biechnamer, he gives a different interpretation. He uses the gematria, the numerical value of the word mechuspas, that is mem is 40, ches is 8, and so forth. Says davar shenivla b'masayim barboim b'shmoyne barim. The Mun was something that it got absorbed in all the 248 limbs in an individual. That means it never had to go out from the intestines. All of it was nutritional. It all got absorbed. It wasn't a waste matter. Now that the Gemara asks, what do you mean mechuspis tuvahav? The numerical value of mechuspis is more than 248. That the Gemara answers, Amram Nachman Yitzchok mechuspis ksiv. It's written what's called chaser. It doesn't have the vav. So if one counts up the mem, ches, samach, pe, and samach, again, 48, 60, 80, and 60, one will get to the numerical value of 248. That's in correlation to the 248 limbs that they got absorbed all in the limbs, and there was no waste matter. Now, Tana Rabbanan, related to this, the Gemara brings the following braisa. So pasuk in Tehillim that says, Lechem abirim ochal ish. The man eats the bread of abirim. That's a reference to the Mun. Why is that? Because lechem shemalach ha'ashar seichel noisim, this is the bread that the ministering angels eat, divrei Rebbe Akiva. That's the words of Rebbe Akiva. That's what the Jewish people ate. The Mun was like malach food, like angel food. However, k'shenem dvarim lefnei Rebbe Shmuel, when this teaching of Rebbe Akiva was said over in his name in front of Rebbe Shmuel, some of them he said to those who were telling it over to him, tzuva amr loy l'Akiva, go out and tell Akiva. He says, Akiva te'isa, Akiva, you have made a mistake. Do ministering angels eat bread? But there's a pasuk in the Varm that Moshe Rabbeinu said that when he went up to Shemayim and he was like a malach, says lechem lo echalti, I didn't eat bread. Umayim lechasisa, I didn't drink water. So what are you saying that lechem abirim, and abirim is a term of abir, which means the strong ones that the Jewish people ate the Mun, which is like angel food, but the angels don't eat. So Elaman Mikhaim Abirim. So what do I fulfill that the mon, the people had eaten the bread of Abirim? Lechem shenivla b'mesayim b'arbam eshmoyne eivarm. The word abirim is related to the word eivarm of limbs. It's the type of food that gets absorbed into all the 248 limbs, and there is no waste matter. It's all inside the person. It just strengthens the person. Now, eleman mekayim, but then what do I fulfill with the pasuk in Devarim that says v'yasei tilochal azeinecha, that you should have a shovel amongst your weapons, which the purpose of that shovel was that when people go out to defecate, they go to the they move their bowels, they should have a shovel to then cover it, that it shouldn't be around over there, because one cannot say Devarim shebekdusha around that. Now, what's the purpose if no one went to the bathroom because everything just got absorbed in their limbs? So on that, the Gemara answers, that was for things that the merchants of the world would sell them. The Jewish people didn't only eat mun, they had mun. But if they wanted, they could purchase from the merchants of the world. Those food items are like regular food, which they had to go out and move their bowels and go to the bathroom. And that's why they had to have the shovel to cover that for. Another answer, Rabbi Elazar ben Parto, he says, no. Even other food items, regular food that the merchants of the world will sell them, mun mafigan. The mun would then still clear it and make it totally nutritious, and the mun would mix with it and it would take everything into their limbs. So eleman mekam, but then what would they fulfill the pasuk that they should have a shovel amongst their weapons if everything they ate was then negated and neutralized by the mun? That was la'achar shesarchu, after that they sinned. And that is because Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Ani amarti yukam la'achishas. I said the Jewish people should be like ministering angels. Achshav, ani matriach isam shalosh parsayas. Now that they're complaining about the man, they don't want it. Now I'm going to make them go through the exertion of walking three parsa. The chsiv, like it says, a pasuk about midbar, that we see for them to go ahead and go to the bathroom, because now they're not going to have the maila of the man remaining inside their system. They have to move their bowels. As says in the pasuk, "Vayachnu al Yarden," that the Jewish people, they were camped by the Jordan. Now, Va'am Rabbi Bachani says, "L'didi chazul yahu arsa." I saw that place all the way from Beis Hayishimis to Aval Hashitim. V'havit lasa parsi, and that was a distance of three parsi. Now, V'tanu, we learned in the Brisa, Kishanimnim, when they would go ahead and relieve themselves. A nifnin, they wouldn't relieve themselves loylifnehin, not in front of the camp, but loylitzdein, and not neither to the side of the camp, because they don't know which way the clouds are going to go. It might go straight, it might go to the right or to the left. Elacharein, only in the back, behind the entire camp. And that's because they knew they weren't going backwards. Now, therefore, that means the ones that were all the way in the front of the camp, when they had to relieve themselves, they had to go to the end of the other side of the camp. That was a distance of three parsa. Hashem said, you know what? They're complaining about the man, that it's something that's like malach food. They're not going to be like that anymore. And now, achash shesarchu was when they needed the shovel and they had to go a distance of three parsa to relieve themselves. As because the pasuk says that the Bnei Yisrael complained, and they said, what do you mean? Now that we're only eating the man, va'ata nafsheinu yevesha, now our souls are dry, ain't cold, there's nothing more. Which is, Amr, they said, that asid man zeh shetipech b'meyem, they said the man is going to burst forth from their intestines. They said, what's going on over here? Klum yesh yilud isha, is there any man that's born by a woman, shemachnas ve'nimoyti, that takes food in and doesn't take it out? What's going on over here? They thought they're taking the man, they're being satiated, and you have to relieve yourself, but they weren't relieving. They said one day we're going to just bust. And that's what they were complaining about, the man, that now we're dry. What's going on? We have nothing. We have no waste matter. And therefore they got punished, and then they ultimately needed to go ahead and relieve themselves, and that's why they needed to shovel. Another version of the prior interaction when they came to Rabbi Shmuel and told him of what Rabbi Kiva had said. It says, when these words were said over from Rabbi Shmuel, Amlehem, he said to them, no. Don't read it, the mighty ones, which Rabbi Kiva wanted to say was like malach food, rather limbs, which means, it means things, that it was a type of food that got absorbed into all the 248 limbs. Now, Eleman Mikam Yosatilochaz alezinacha. So, what do you do with the pasuk that they needed a shovel to go ahead and cover the waste matter if they had no waste matter? That was Bidvarm Shabon Lemimidin Sayam. That was regarding items which came from overseas. They imported foods. Those foods were not like the man that they had to relieve themselves for. Now, Dava Acher, another component in that pasuk, another interpretation, it says, Lechem Abirim Ochel Ish. We quoted the pasuk before that the bread of Abirim the man ate. On that, the Gemara continues on the top of Ayin Vav Man Aleph, Zeh Yeshua. That's a reference to Yeshua. That because Yeshua went up with Moshe Rabbeinu until the board, the boundary of the mountain, like it says in Shemais Chav Dalet, Vayoka Moshe, that Moshe went up, Yeshua Mesharsai, and his attendant Yeshua, Vayal Moshe Al Harsinai, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Harsinai, and Yeshua waited there the entire 40 days when Moshe Rabbeinu went up. Like it says, Vayishma Yeshua is Kol Ha'am Barah, but Yeshua heard, he didn't know, he wasn't with them, he was waiting by the bottom of the mountain by Moshe Rabbeinu. So we learned that he wasn't with them, and now where he was, Sheyorod Lo Iman Keneged Kol Yisrael. That's what it's saying, that Lechem Abirim Ochel Ish, the Ish, that is a reference to Yeshua, he ate this Lechem Abirim, which means that he ate, he got the amount of man that the entire Jewish people had. That amount came to Yeshua himself by the foot of the mountain. Because Ksiv Hocha Ish, it says over here, the Lechem Abirim Ochel Ish, the man ate. Ksiv Hasim, and there's another pasuk that says, Kach lechas Yeshua ben Nun, take for yourself as a leader, Yeshua ben Nun, Ish Asheruach, by a man that has the spirit in him. So we see that Yeshua is called Ish. And therefore we see that Lechem Abirim Ochel Ish, the food of the man, a man ate, the amount of man that the entire Jewish people had, came to Yeshua's foot, by there where he was, by the foot of the mountain, that's how much man came to him. Now the Gemara asks, Ve'ima Moshe, what do you mean? Say that's a reference to Moshe, the Chsiv, because it says a pasuk regarding Moshe, Ve'ish Moshe on the Ma'id. It also says regarding him that he was called Ish the man, that he was very humble. So maybe it was a reference that that amount of the whole entire Jewish people came to Moshe, not to Yeshua. But the Gemara answers, Donin Ish Mi Ish, we learn the exact wording of man, man, which says both by Yeshua and by that pasuk of Ochel Ish, Ve'in Donin Ish Mi Viho Ish. And we don't learn the term of Ish, which it says in that pasuk of Lechem Abirim, from the term regarding Moshe, which says Veha Ish and the man. So there it doesn't say exactly the word Ish. Therefore, we learn that as a reference to Yeshua, that again, Yeshua was Lechem Abirim Ochel Ish. He had the same amount of man that the entire Jewish people had. He had himself, but when he was waiting by the foot of the mountain for Moshe Rabbeinu.